Welcome back to season 6 of Sister Brunch, the podcast that prides itself on sharing the stories of Black women and gender expansive people thriving in entertainment and media. I'm Fanchon Cox, the producer and host of Sister Brunch. Now, our co-host for this season, Sean Pipkin West, won't be with us today, but I am so excited that we have another co-host from Black Girls Film Camp. We are so excited when we have the chance to pair our rising media creators with a seasoned industry boss. And today we've got these two kind of nice energy, these youngins who like just make me very hopeful about what's to come in this industry. I'm so happy to have them both on. So for Black Girls Film Camp, we have Marley Jones, a teen director and winner of the BGFC Most Original Story Award for her short film Stank Face. I can't wait to get into that. Marley's latest work is a Michaud Film Festival selection. Huge congratulations and welcome, Marley. So Marley, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your film that you made for Black Girls Film Camp and the project that was just at Michaud.
Awesome. It's great to be here today. I'm so excited. My name is Marley Jones.
We're excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm from Las Vegas, and I am now a freshman at the Howard University.
Hey.
Where I study media, journalism, and film. I'm liking it so far, and I'm ready to get into my film classes. And Black Girls Film Camp, my film called Stank Face, is a short horror, and it is about a girl who is under constant critique from the people in her life. And, you know, we've all been through that as Black girls, often accused of having attitude, and she's just tired of being misunderstood. So she folds to societal pressures and takes some drastic measures to finally be accepted. But I don't want to spoil it, so y'all should definitely watch it.
There you go. And we can see that on the Black Girls Film Camp YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
All of the films are up there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose horror for that film?
Well, this film is actually like autobiographical, and it's essentially made to raise awareness about Black girls and what we truly go through. And I had this experience when I was in the 5th grade. I was trying out for the volleyball team that I've been on for a couple of years, but every year you want to rank up, so you kind of have to try out to get on the next teams. And my coach was actually my English teacher at the time, and long story short, I applied and tried out, didn't get on the team. I was literally devastated. And when I didn't get on, my mom, you know, obviously had a conversation with the coach to see what the issue was. He said I had all of the skill. I was a great student, very respectful. So my mom was like, then what's the issue? Yeah, what's the problem? And he told us that his wife, which was also the co-coach, said that I had a stank face. And oh my gosh, like, honestly, I was never the same, especially in terms of being an athlete. So this is my personal horror story in my life. And I guess that's why I chose to tell this through a lens of horror, you know?
Amazing. So was your Michaud film also a horror film, or are you all about different genres?
My Michaud film was Stank Face.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yes,
that's
yes.
The one that played there. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you so much.
And okay, so do you want to continue to do horror is my question. Is that like a genre that calls for you, or were you like, listen, this was a horror situation, that's how I'm going to present it, but generally you do other things?
I love horror. It speaks to me. I love thriller. I love everything dark, because I feel like if you tell stories in different genres, different mediums, people might turn their head, but horror is like such a unique experience to do something different, you know what I mean, and to shock people. Absolutely. I love shock value, so I think I'll probably stay in horror, but you know, here at Howard, I want to try everything. I want to be a learner, so
I love it. I love it. It's, you know, obviously it's hot. It's a hot genre right now. I'm sure it will continue to be. I personally can't watch horror, but folks who have listened to this show for a while know. My therapist told me, because I went to go see, I'm sure you know these two films. I went to go see The Shining and The Exorcist.
Yes.
It was like a double feature when I was 16, and that just ruined me for life. Amazing films, though. So,
yes.
So Marley, let's bring on another person who knows lots about film because she is a critic, and she's created this following around talking about films and letting us know that you don't have to reach a certain level, you don't have to have done particular things, or essentially in this industry, you don't have to be a white man or white period and be a film critic. So Marley, please introduce our guest for today.
Yes, I am so thrilled to introduce our guest, Megan, also known as Megan's World. This is the first time Sister Brunch has had a content creator and podcaster on to discuss the process to enter this field in a new era of entertainment. Megan is a content creator, a podcaster who focuses on film reviews, pop culture and commentary, and entertainment news. With nearly a decade of content creation experience, she has built a loyal audience through engaging movie reviews, insightful commentary, and Megan is known for blending entertainment and analysis on her podcast, Tea and Popcorn. And her viewers enjoy her relatable and educational approach and providing an engaging look at the world of film and pop culture with the occasional meme. Sister Brunch fam, let's welcome Megan.
Hey,
yes, Megan. Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I'm so excited to be on this episode and being the first content creator on this podcast.
Yes,
it's awesome. So very cool to have you. And that's the thing, I mean, I love for both of you and what the future holds is, I mean, I love on one hand, Marley, you're in school for this, right? And that's an important space to be in, especially at Howard, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about an opportunity to build our culture from the kind of center of our culture, I would say, academically. Yeah. But also for y'all, there's so many different ways you can create content. So Megan, I'm so excited to have you on. Tell our listeners about what you do with Tea and Popcorn and on TikTok.
Hi, Sister Brunch family. This is Marley Jones, a proud alumni member and team director with the Black Girls Film Camp 2024 cohort and winner of the BGFC's Most Original Story Award for my short film, Stank Face. And you're listening to the Sister Brunch Podcast. Sister Brunch is on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. You can support Sister Brunch by leaving a review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're at it, why not share this episode with a friend who wants to know what it's like to be a content creator, like our guest, Megan of Megan World. Let's get back into this episode and learn more about it. Megan, can you tell us how you became a content creator and the steps to build your audience? And then what's your process to create the content that has transformed into a career?
Oh, that's a really good question. So, my bio said, I've been doing content creation for almost a decade. I actually started right after college. I started out on this app called Stardust. It's now discontinued, which is really sad, but it introduced me to short form content and just film criticism. So basically what the platform was is you create 1 minute movie reviews and TV reviews. And it was such a fun platform. Actually, I still follow people that were on that platform to this day. We've become real life friends, actually. So that's been amazing. And from there, I went on to Instagram and then TikTok. And now with my podcast, which is pretty new, Tea and Popcorn. So it's just Tea and Popcorn is basically an expansion of my movie reviews and whatnot. And the reason why I started content creation is because there wasn't anyone that looked like me or had the opinions as me. The film creator space, or the critic space rather, is very white male dominated. And I almost never saw a black woman, let alone a black person.
And we're like, how am I going to trust you to tell me whether I'm going to like this project, right?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
They tend to not even have heard of the things that we love. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. So
Megan,
do you
remember the first film? I'm so sorry. I do. So y'all, what was the first
no
film?
No problem. Hop in.
Okay. What was the first film that you reviewed? Do you remember?
Oh, that is so good. That's a great question. I love that. I would say my first film that I reviewed. Okay, so there's kind of like two eras with that. So there's the first review that I reviewed in college, and I went under an alias. I did a blog, actually, because it was for an assignment. I'm not going to say what the alias was, but I went under an alias. Okay. And the first movie I think I reviewed was American Psycho. And it was like a first time review for that. It was my first time watching. So I was just like, okay, my whole blog is going to be just reviewing all these popular films that I haven't seen before. So that was my first review. Wow. And then my first review as myself was, I believe it was Star Wars. It was one of the Star Wars sequels. Okay. And I believe it was The Last Jedi.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, and it was such a simple video. It was like right after the showing. I believe it was like me and my boyfriend at the time went to watch it, and I was like literally filming in his car, just getting all excited. That's how the video was. I was like, oh, the movie was so fun. I loved it. Yeah. So that was my first video.
I love the point of the two ones you chose because, you know, on one hand, we're saying, right, like, I don't even trust a lot of these critics to give to have a perspective that really would understand what I would enjoy. And therefore, why should I listen to them? Right. And there's something they say they didn't like, I might like, et cetera. But also then I think some of us have a tendency to then be like, well, I'm just going to review black films. It's like, no, actually, we should be reviewing all these films. I will say I tend to when I review any of these films, I'm like, there's too many white people. There are other people in this world. You should put other looking people in all of these movies. So that's a disclaimer for everything that I ever, you know, talk about. But I love that you know, both of the things you talked about are not necessarily black centered films, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's real important. How did you learn like the kind of the verbiage and the, like how to do critique versus
great question. So actually I studied digital communications at university. Nice. As well as film production, so I was able to learn all of the film lingo, and by having a film production background, it does help me with my critique. I also have a photography minor, minor was photography.
Nice.
So we had critique days. And how I critique is actually based off of how my professors critiqued. So I talk about what I liked, what I disliked, and what needed to be improved on. And I think that's a fair and balanced way to do criticism, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason why I do that is I find that there's a kind of lack of really good critique in the content creator reviewer space, where it's just like, oh, this movie sucks.
Sucked,
you
right,
never
exactly.
don't watch
I
it.
Didn't
it's
like it.
Okay,
yes.
Well, why does it suck? Like, please explain why. And there's nuances and stuff like that. So I want to get away from that almost toxicity of just saying a movie is bad and just go on. You know, describe what is actually good about it. And also what I like or what I dislike might be something that someone else likes. So I've recently incorporated recommendations like, hey, this movie will be good for someone who likes this movie.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I like that.
Yeah. I love that for both of you. I mean, you know, I think it's so important no matter what you do in the industry that you have a basic knowledge of how movies get made or how to, right? Like how these things get made. Because that's another thing I find very frequently that, you know, critics kind of talk about it, but you're not even understanding how the production, the physical production needed to happen in order for mm-hmm. you to make that comment, right? And that's another reason why I love Black Girls Film Camp is they yes. plant those seeds so early on, right? That no matter what y'all do afterwards, you have that base, that root, and that all of you are actually, because I've talked to a lot of the girls now, some of them want to be development executives, some of them exactly. want to be cinematographers, but they all have that experience with actually creating something. Marley, mm-hmm. who was your DP? Did you film yours?
No, so actually the process was low-key so stressful because you're right, they put you in a place where they treat you like you have already been in the industry for years, which I think is like the best thing ever. My DP's name was Anup. He is so cool. I'm pretty sure he worked with one of the Black Girls Film Camp writers, Regina Hoyles, and
yes,
she actually put me on, and I needed a last minute DP, and she's like, I had a friend for you, and boom, he flew down to Vegas, and he was the best DP ever because he really let me have creative control. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, we worked as a really good team. So, yeah.
I love
that. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Megan, I was going to say, have you ever made things? You do. That's what content creation is, right?
Yeah.
It's just different. But have you ever done a kind of a film with a whole crew, or is it mostly?
To a certain extent, yeah. Okay. So actually I got my almost first start in film, if you could say that, through a film camp, actually.
Nice.
So I did, so it's really awesome that you have some from Black Girls Film Camp. But yeah, I did a film camp and theater camp when I was in high school. And that's mm-hmm. actually what really solidified my film bug, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we learned basic about film production, from the pre-production all the way to editing. So
yes.
that was really good. And then, of course, in college, I took a lot of classes and directed films and whatnot, too. And I really want to get back into directing, too, eventually. So, yeah, I have a few ideas. I want to do documentary films as well as, like, written things. So, yeah,
yes.
I have some ideas cooking. But, you know, right now I'm focusing on content creation. And Lord willing, I'll be able to actually make a film of my own, too.
I love it. It's so funny. We try to keep the podcast evergreen, so we try not to talk about markers, you know, kind of historical markers. But we need to say tonight is a historical night. Tomorrow's going to be even more historical, that this is the night before the election when,
yes.
ooh, goddess, God, Buddha, Allah, everybody willing
mm-hmm.
that we will have our first Black Indian Jamaican president,
yes.
woman president,
yes.
Tomorrow evening at some point. And I brought that up to say that Marley is, I love Marley. You were saying you've been interviewing people on campus, so you have
mm-hmm.
an interest in documentary too.
Yes, so hopefully she wins. I've already started editing in manifestation that she's
yes.
already our president. But I just went around campus today because the election is on campus tomorrow. They are shutting down blocks and blocks and blocks, and just everyone's in business mode. Like, you walk out and there's cameras everywhere, people being interviewed. So I was like, this is a great time.
Yes.
It's history.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just get my camera and go. So I
yes.
talked to a lot of people, and tomorrow I'll bring my camera to the election watch party, and I'm just nervous
Ooh.
And excited, but
yeah.
this is history no matter what happens, you know?
It's history. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm so excited to be on with the two of you on a night like tonight, and, you know, given that, yeah, whatever it is that happens tomorrow. So actually, I'm gonna skip to our Let's Talk Tech question, Marley, because you mentioned you're going to pull your camera out. Megan,
mm-hmm.
you have a beautiful microphone. Let's do our Let's Talk Tech right now. Marley, I want to hear about what camera you use, what lenses you used, what other equipment did you use when you did these interviews? And then Megan, same, what do you use to record your podcast and also your other content? So either whoever, Megan, you want to start?
Okay, yeah. So I use this mic. I got it off of Amazon. It's this concise mic. I forgot what it's actually called, to be completely honest. But I like it, and it changes color for the ones that are looking at the video.
I mean, you put on the Sister Brunch colors. I don't know if you know. Those are our colors.
Right,
our
and
logo.
It changes throughout. So I love it. It's fun. You know, so this is like my starter mic. And then as far as video content, I use the Sony ZV-1, and nice. It's a beautiful vlogging camera, really lightweight. Yes. And as far as like my TikToks and Instagram, all that stuff, honestly, my iPhone. iPhones are great.
Yes. Yes.
I've been using that forever. And as far as video podcasting goes and streaming, Riverside.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we love Riverside. Let's get a little content deal, a little brand deal. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Riverside, we used to do. We really like Riverside too. Megan, what do you edit on?
I also edit on Riverside right now as well.
You do?
So I edit my podcast episodes on Riverside so far. And I, as far as my short form content, my TikTok and whatnot, I usually edit in app or use CapCut.
Nice.
Oh, I like CapCut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right, yeah. Marley, what do you have?
Okay, so I have the Sony A7, and this is
I
love
on.
It
yes.
so much. Black Girls
Great
Film
camera.
Camp actually hooked me up with this for free. Free of
that
charge.
That camera?
Nice.
Yes.
Wait, that? What?
Yes.
What?
Wow. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. So I've been using that ever since I got that last
year.
Did
all
year.
The girls get those?
All the girls. Tripods, cameras, lighting.
See, I need
every
to reach my niece is in blood. Did you know my niece, Jada Cox? I mean, she was...
Yes! She was the...
Yeah, that's my niece.
Yes! That is
yep,
so
yep,
cool.
Yeah, she's an alumni. She was like an alumni coach this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, see, because I got her a ZV-1. Love that camera so much for her to be able to kind of just blog. But then I knew they gave them a camera in Black Girls Film Camp. I was like, you know what? I need to get one of those two back. You know? I'm like, auntie needs a good camera. What lenses, Marley, are you using on that?
Oh, so this is the FE, and it's 28-70mm, and I think this is very, like, versatile. You could do anything with it. And I really like this camera because oftentimes some cameras are better just for videography and then just for photography, but this is, like, equally as good for videography and photography. So I love it. I love it so much.
Love it. Do you record separate audio when you're doing your interviews, or are you picking up good sound from that?
So this has great audio. Oftentimes, like, there's always something going on in Howard's campus. So if I don't have time to hook up the mic that they gave us, then that just works perfectly. Like, it's a perfect camera. Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, so what do you cut realize on? That I mispronounced the name of my mic or the brand? It's actually Coco Nice. It looks like it's that. I don't know why I read concise, but it's like Coco.
I love it.
But whatever. Maybe it's like misspelled, but I noticed like the instructions were like in another language, so I don't even know.
Wow. Okay. Coco
but it's nice. On Amazon. Just look up like USB mic and then or streaming, blah, 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 all the other keywords, and then you'll be able to find it. It pops up.
I love it. And do you record? Is it a USB? Do you record right into your computer?
Yeah, it's a USB, so I record right into my computer.
Nice, nice. So while we're talking, then I'm going to show y'all. So I use a Shure SM7B. I love this mic. And then I love this little thing here. It's a PodTrack. Yeah, so this one, it's very light. It's like $150. So this is a great one, Marley, because now they have lavs that have an XLR on
the
end
of
them. So just to add that little extra touch of good audio, carry that lav around, just stick the lav on there, and you've got this in here. I'm big on audio. That's hence the podcast.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm always like, get that, you know, get that separate audio so you just have that nice and crisp as well. Sisters and siblings, thank you for continuing to listen to the podcast, leaving us great reviews, watching on youtube.com/trujulomedia. That's TRUJULO Media. And some of you are following us on TikTok. We so appreciate that. That's also at Trujillo Media. And that's where we post the full episodes and clips of the episode as well. We also always love your comments and your shares on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. Let's go to a question that is not always comfortable for everybody, but we feel like it is so important for us to talk about this, which is money. And specifically, especially for you, Megan, because Marley's in school right now. I know I worked 3 jobs while I was in to get me through undergrad. Megan, now you're in the content creation world. In a way that's most comfortable to you, can you talk to us about how funding happens for you to make, be able to do what you do?
Oh, that's an amazing question. I love that. So with content creation, there's a lot of layers to it. I have also a full-time job as well. So I'm like a part-time content creator.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that. But also as far as the content creation business goes, you could go different routes as far as streams of income. You could go with brand deals, which is the most common one, user generated content. So you're basically making content for the brand, but you don't necessarily post it on your profile. And you could also do digital products. There's also memberships too. And I want to start a membership as far as my for my podcast too. I think that's going to be the route that I go next. And yeah, so there's just different ways you could earn extra income. But I would say my advice for inspiring content creators is having multiple streams of income. For sure. Like that is key. And always having a backup plan, and you're working essentially as a freelancer. So you're always pitching to brands and just trying to figure out what the next thing is. But you're also don't get overwhelmed by trying to do everything too. I would say pick your three streams of income, if that, or start out with one and then gradually go up.
Wow. Okay. So how did you get started? Let's say you set a brand deal, or how would you get started with that?
That's a really good question. Honestly, it's one part networking, one part research, for brand deals. And so basically what you will do is you pitch to a brand, usually through an email. If you are connected with a influencer marketer, sometimes like on LinkedIn, you could connect with people through there, which is honestly, that's a pro tip, like connect with people on LinkedIn.
Okay,
for content creators, like,
yes.
Or, and also just networking in person too. And just be honest with your content creation and what type of, post you create. And I would say someone that is working in my field, if you're interested in critique and just content creation, commentary, things like that, a lot of businesses, particularly studios, they are looking for other creators, even if you have a smaller following, to do recap videos. So there's a little like wink,
brilliant,
wink, hint, hint for you.
Wink, wink.
That's good. Sure.
To tap into that as well. That's some insider tea.
Such a good point, because they need free. They getting free marketing for, right, and obviously they hope you say something good about whatever it is you're critiquing.
And might as well get paid for that too, you know.
Absolutely.
So, set your rates, and nice. Also I'll give another tip as well, is come up with a media kit of your best work,
right,
and tailor,
okay,
it to the particular brand.
Tell us a little more about your media kit. What goes into that? And by the way, Marley, this is me just like, and when I hear some intro, I'm like,
yes.
Feel free to
yeah,
okay,
of course,
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So what usually goes into a media kit is basically a little bit about yourself, the type of content you want to create, or not want to create, but the type of content you create, and your demographics, who your audience are. What's another thing that goes in? Work samples, of course, and just testimonials are always good to have too. Other brands you've worked with, if you have any. So those are like the basic things to have in a media kit, and it's usually digital.
Nice.
Let's talk tea and popcorn also, because it's a podcast like ours. I can say we ain't making no money, right? Like, and that's the big thing. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast and get monetized. I'm like, it don't happen like that. Yeah, maybe if you have a true crime podcast and you have a celebrity that's narrating your true crime, right? Those are cases we can, or you have celebrity interviews. We knew with Sister Brunch, like, we're just like, all of our guests the world needs to know our guests. That's our thing, is like, and so we're doing our part, and all our kind of small niche community, grassroots community, making sure that y'all's stories get told and that people recognize you from the podcast, and, you know, and also potentially work together, because we've got, you know, all of our guests do a bunch of different things in the industry. So that's why we do it. It don't monetize. So, like, we got a grant, which was amazing, right? So I'm wondering, too, for tea and popcorn, because it is a lot of work, as you it know, is. Megan, right? Mm-hmm. Are you funding this all on your own?
Right now, I'm funding it all on my own. But, yeah, again, eventually I want to start incorporating streams of income, whether it be brand deal sponsorships, finding brands that will want to partner with me and collaborations, and then also creating a membership too down the line. I would love to have that. And the reason mostly why I want to create a membership too is I ultimately want to create a safe space for people that have the similar views to me, or also are inspiring content creators as well, and just
that.
To openly talk about film and the films that we like, dislike, just like all of that, because a lot of times, like, there's, you know how social media is, there's a lot of arguing, especially on certain film pages and all that stuff, and I'm like,
yes,
no, let's just ultimately, like, have a civil conversation about it. So
yes,
that's what that's going to be about, as well as bonus content.
Nice.
That's
all
awesome.
Right, so now I have to ask for both of you, favorite film of all time.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's the hardest question in the world.
One. You only get to choose one.
Only one? So, oh, that's
insane. Yes.
That's difficult. Okay, with that being said, if I could only choose one, I will. Okay, I'm going to kind of narrow it down, because I'm a musical girly. So
nice.
My favorite musical of all time is Dreamgirls.
Oh, come on. Yes.
It's my baby.
Wait, are we talking original? We talking the remake?
I am talking, well, I just love all things Dreamgirls, but okay. Yeah, the 2006 film is that girl.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. Yes, I love
that. Awesome.
All right, you know what? I will, if we need to, I will allow us to do different genres. So that's your musical favorite. Marley, what's your horror favorite, Marley?
My horror favorite, that is so hard. Either... And some people say that this movie isn't a horror, but to me, it's the psychology of it is just frightening. So Get Out is probably my favorite horror.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yes.
In fact, that was the first movie I went to see after my therapist told me many years ago not to go see a horror movie. And it was the first horror that I went to see, and I'm so glad I saw it. Because it's brilliant. Yes.
It's brilliant.
I love Jordan Peele so much, so just good. To see what he does. I think he really opened a big door for Black directors, because oftentimes, I think, especially in things like horror, we're like shunned away. And to showcase such a real problem, but through that lens, was just so amazing to watch. I remember the first time I watched it, I was with my parents, and I was so scared. And I was just like, how can something just be so frightening? Like, I love the film so much.
It's so good.
It's a
so
great
good.
One. It's like one of the films I regret not seeing in theaters, but I saw it on a plane for the first time, and I was like hooked. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I'm pretty sure the person next to me was like hearing me gasp the entire time. I was shocked, but it's such a great movie. I love it.
So
I love it.
Good.
I love it.
Well, I'm going to share mine, and I'm so curious if you've both seen this film, which is Do the Right Thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
There's a spider poster right above my head.
Because talk about the thing about Spike, and I don't love all of his work, but Do the Right Thing for sure is, for me, truly all time. I think I was working at a movie theater the summer it came out, so I saw it 14 Whoa. Times. Like, every time I'd get off of work, I'd just go and sit down. And for both of you, I think it's just so relevant in the sense that it is that's a masterclass in filmmaking, right? Like, you could watch it purely for the social commentary, and Get Out is similar too, right? You could, or you go back and you just watch just the cinematography, or just the music and the composition, and right, and absolutely, it's just brilliant. Why did I think y'all two wouldn't have heard of that movie?
Like, two people that were in film school. Like, what do you think?
But again, to your point and needing to be a critic, there are some film schools that don't recognize the classic nature of that film.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, so let's talk least known Black movie by larger audiences. Have you got one?
I have one. Okay. It's called, it came out last year, it's called 1001. It has Tiana Taylor in it. Yes. And it's an amazing movie. I always recommend it to people. It is brilliant. So good. So
let me put that on my letterbox.
Yes,
you need to put it on your letterbox. So okay. So what it's about this one woman who is, she actually like kidnaps her kid. Well, it's not, it sounds terrible, but she has a son. And she takes him back. He was in foster care. So she takes care of him on the low. And it takes place in the 1990s New York. And it talks about gentrification and whatnot. It's a beautiful film. It's so
really
good.
Well done. And she's amazing. I was going to say Love Jones.
Ooh, I love Love Jones. That's my dad's favorite film.
It is.
That's my mom's favorite film and soundtrack.
Yes.
Classic on every possible level. And one of those films that in a just and right world would have won awards, right? Like, this is I just remember the feeling of seeing that film and realizing at that time that we were not going to get the kind of recognition that we should be getting in those larger awards arenas. Because
yeah,
that
definitely.
One is brilliant. It's just such a great film.
Yes.
Okay, any other favorites that you want to... And then Marley's going to take us to our signature Sister Brunch question. But before that, any other favorites that you want to share?
I would say Ganja and Hess. I think that's such a good film. I know. I'm on it.
I still need to watch that one. It's been on my watch list. I still need to check it out.
It's Marley. It's a beautiful film. My dad was putting me on a lot to a lot of his old favorites, and for someone like that likes horror, I think that it is just such a good watch. I think everyone needs to watch it. I love it so much.
I love it. Okay. Oh my gosh. I said we're going to do our signature very quickly. Before we do that, Megan, just tell us about Tea and Popcorn. What do you talk about Tea and Pop? Or maybe you did, but anything else you want us to know about Tea and Popcorn?
So basically what we do is we talk about film and culture. So how different films kind of tie into ultimately cultural and social commentary, as well as just fun trivia throughout the movie and just different reviews and talking with people within the film industry. So whether they are fellow content creators or people that work in the industry in some capacity. That's basically what Tea and Popcorn is. New project, a passion project of mine that is really 4 years in the making, but I'm recently releasing it, so I'm really excited to expand on that and see Amazing. Where it goes.
I love it. Well, let's do collaborations. Obviously, we are Absolutely. All about that here, so great to know. All right, bring us home with this signature Sister Brunch question, Marley.
Okay, imagine you're sitting down at a Sister Brunch with your younger self. What are you both eating? What are you both drinking? And what do you tell her?
Oh, wow, that's such a great question. Okay, we are, for my younger self, we're definitely eating Italian food. We're getting a big thing of pasta.
Love it. Love it.
For, yes. And tiramisu for dessert.
Oh, nice.
I'm stuck on the food part. What was that part of the question?
What are you guys both drinking and what do you tell her? What is your main conversation?
Oh, okay. Yeah, my younger self would definitely be drinking a lemonade. My older self or my current self, probably drinking lemonade too, but mostly water. I'm trying to drink my water more. And our conversation and what I would tell her, my younger self. I would tell her to just stay true to herself and always follow her aspirations. Because that's going to take her far. And be mindful of who's sticking by you and who you should take to the wayside.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, that's what I would tell her. Just continuing on with her dreams, goals, and aspirations.
Yeah. I love that. Especially now, because I'm so young. Hearing that is just amazing. Like, just stay true to yourself and... pick your friends like you pick your fruit. So, I like that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Ooh. Yes.
Absolutely.
This is, again, the thing that I love about content creation, right? And I will say, I don't know if you've heard this, Megan, a lot of folks in the industry, and when I say that, I'm talking about at studios, you know, kind of larger production companies. I hear this all the time. They're like, I hate the word content. And I'm like, but it encompasses so many things. I mean, I think the point is that in the best of ways, both of you, you're like, we're not going to be pigeonholed. Marley can make a horror and Marley can make a documentary. And folks, you know, kind of who have been in the industry a long time, I know when I got here too, they were like, no, choose your thing. Is it film or TV? And what genre? And I'm like, no, that's why we call it content, because there are so many different things it can be. And so I'm just so excited about both of you and all that you continue to make and put out in the world. Sister Brunch is here to lift you up, share who you are and your projects with the world. We're really thrilled to have both of you on the podcast. So thank you to both of you.
thank you so much.
It's been such an honor.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Season 6 of the Sister Brunch Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps support the podcast and all of our amazing guests as well. So, Sister Brunch is brought to you by Trujillo Productions and was created by me, Fanchon Cox, Christabel Nciabuadi, and Anya Adams.
Season 6 of Sister Brunch is produced by Tasha Rogers. Fanchon is recording this podcast from the unceded territory of the Tongva and the Chumash people of Los Angeles, California, and I'm recording this episode from Howard University, the original and contemporary land of the Nacotchatank and the Piscataway people.
Thank you so much, truly, to the Sister Brunch community for listening and following, reviewing, subscribing, and we will talk to you next week.